We'll turn to that passage of Scripture we read there in 1 Peter, chapter number 3. And really, verses 8 to 12 is really our text for today. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 says, "Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." A Christian, whenever he was awaiting surgery in the hospital where he was spoken to by his nurse, and the nurse said to him, "I suppose that you are preparing for the worst." And he replied, "No, I am preparing for the best." You see, at a time of great trial in his life, that believer was really a bright witness for the Lord, because they knew that the Lord was sovereign and that the Lord was in control of all the affairs of their life at that particular time and juncture awaiting surgery. And here in our Bible reading today in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 to 12, Peter here is writing to believers who were also soon to suffer much for righteousness' sake. Yes, it would have been easy for these Christians to become downcast as they thought of the trials that lay before them and that were ahead of them. Therefore, in these verses, Peter seeks to encourage them to maintain a good testimony for the Lord as they were soon to face a terrible onslaught upon them because of their witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. This was soon to come upon them by way of a fiery trial of opposition to them and to their witness at that particular day in the time of the Apostle Peter. So Peter here writes to encourage them, and this he does by instructing them to show forth the love of Christ. Look at what he says in verse 8 of the chapter there. He says, "Love as brethren." In other words, he was saying to them, no matter what is going to come your way as believers, Peter here wants these believers in Christ to radiate and to show forth the love of God in Christ toward others. And just as this was God's will for the Christians in the day of Peter, so this is still God's will for his people today. No matter what adversity the believer faces for being a Christian, he or she is to go on showing to others the wonderful love of God in Christ. Yes, their life is to be marked, no matter what happens, by Christian charity and compassion. You remember the words of the Apostle Paul as he writes his letter to the church at Galatia. He said to the believers there, he says, "By love, serve one another." And that really shows us that no matter how difficult life circumstances may be, the believer is to radiate the love of God. And believer in Christ, can I say, this is also God's will for you and I, yes, today, in days of trial, in days of adversity, in days of testing, and in days of reproach, and indeed persecution for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now then, being the case, I believe it's important that we look then at these verses 8 to 12 of 1 Peter chapter 3. For here we find good counsel for days of adversity and trial in the life of the Christian. You notice first of all with me here that in days of adversity, the believer must show brotherly love. Look at what is said there in verse number 8 of the chapter. It says, "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous." Notice that word "finally" there. It literally means to sum up. In times of adversity, the Christian's testimony is summed up, so to speak, with brotherly love in particular here toward God's people. Indeed, Christian, this is how you and I are to treat our fellow believers in times of difficulty and in times of trial. You will notice here from the verse that this brotherly love is to be marked by unity. It says there in verse 8, it says, be all of one mind. And this means how we are to avoid a division with God's people, especially within the local assembly. We are to be of one mind with our fellow Christian. Then it is important that we have the mind of Christ. You remember the words of the Apostle Paul to the church at Philippi. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And people, this is something that we need to be praying for, praying continually for in our church and in our assembly, and especially so in times of trial and distress and times of adversity and testing. For it is through us having the mind of Christ that we will also be at one with our fellow Christian. Now, it is important here to stress that this unity does not mean uniformity. It doesn't mean that. But rather it means cooperation together, even in the midst of diversity and also in the midst of adversity. You think of our own bodies, our own physical frame. They're made up of many, many different parts. And all those parts work together for the good of our bodies, our physical frame, so to speak. They're all different, but they all work together for the good of our health and our physical health. And likewise, all of us who are saved by the grace of God, we're all different in many ways. All from different backgrounds, different personalities, whatsoever. However, as members of Christ's body, as members of Christ's church, we're to work together for the good of the church and God's work, especially so in times of testing and times of trial. Yes, this brotherly love is to be marked with unity. You'll notice something else here in the verse, that this brotherly love is to be marked with compassion. In verse 8 there, Peter says, having compassion one of another. And that word compassion, it literally means to be concerned about the needs of others. The original word that is used there in that verse for that word compassion is the same word from which we derive and get our English word as sympathy. What is Peter here saying to us as believers, people of God in days of crisis? Yes, you and I as believers, we are to have compassion, sympathy, and concern, especially for our fellow believers, and especially whenever we see our fellow believers in need and in times of trouble or adversity. And you know, as you study this letter of Peter, as you read through it, you see that this is something that Peter is constantly affirming and emphasizing before God's people. Go back to chapter 1 and the verse number 22 of the chapter. Notice what he says there. He says there, seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, he says, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Look again at what he says in 1 Peter chapter 2 in the verse number 17. He says there, honor all men. Then he says, love the brotherhood. And the brotherhood there speaks of God's family, God's people. Again, go to the very last chapter of the book, chapter 5, and verse number 14, the very last verse. And again, you see this being emphasized when he says, greet ye one another with the kiss of charity. And he's emphasizing there the matter of compassion amongst the people of God, especially to those in times of testing and trial. If you turn over a little bit to 1 John chapter 3, you'll see how John again emphasizes this to God's people. As he writes, 1 John chapter 3, verses 16, 17, and 18, look at what he says. He says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. Notice it, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That speaks of sacrifice, even for our fellow believers. It says, verse 17, but whoso have this world's goods, and see if his brother have need, and shut up his bowels of compassion from him. How dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. You'll notice something else again from 1 Peter chapter 3 and the verse number 8, how this Brotherly love is also to be marked by pity and by courtesy. Look again at what Peter says there in verse 8 of 1 Peter chapter 3. He says, be pitiful, be courteous. That word pity there literally means to be tender-hearted. And people, it goes without saying, due to sin and the effects of sin in this world. Yes, you and I, we live in a day of increasing hard-heartedness amongst people and society. And there's much evidence of that today in the world all around us. Yes, proof of that is seen in the increasing attacks upon elderly and vulnerable people in our community. You hear of that in the news from time to time. And shows you awful hard-heartedness of those who would inflict such treatment upon the elderly and the vulnerable in our community. But you also see it as well, dear people, in the increasing demand for abortion and for euthanasia within our society. And my, how a mother could have her child killed, I cannot understand. How people could ask for somebody who's ill to their life to be taken from them again, I cannot understand. But what it shows, dear people, is the awful hard-heartedness that is the effect of sin that is reaping havoc in our society and in our world today. The Bible speaks of the end times, and Christ is speaking in Matthew chapter 24, and he says this in particular to God's people. He says, the love of many, he says, shall wax cold. And as God's people, we must be careful that that same hard-hearted spirit of the world does not rub off upon us or rub off upon the church of Christ that he has redeemed and called to himself. Remember what Paul said to God's people in Ephesians 5, verse 32. He says, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And then you have the word courteous there that Peter uses in our verse. It literally means to be humble-minded. And what it really means is putting the interests of others first. The interests of others before ourselves. You remember what Paul said again to the church at Philippi in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Writing there to God's people, he says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And brethren and sisters in Christ, this is how we are to demonstrate our brotherly love in days of adversity and in days of trial. But you notice something else here regarding this counsel from Peter to God's people in times of adversity. In the second place, we can also say that in days of adversity, the believer is to exercise forbearance, even toward those who would oppose him as a Christian. Look at what Peter goes on to say in verse number 9 of the chapter. He says, they're not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. With these words here, Peter was counseling God's people to exercise forbearance and indeed restraint, even towards those who would oppose them as Christians, even towards those who would seek to persecute them for righteousness' sake. And people of God, this is the example that you and I also are to follow when we are confronted by those who would seek to oppose us as Christians. Yes, as believers, God, yes, has saved us so that we might be a blessing to others. Thus, as Christians, we are never to render evil for evil. God warns against that in the life of his people and in the life of his church. Rather, we are to return good even to those who would oppose us as Christians, and in doing so, we're to commit our cause unto the Lord. And you'll see that this is the example that Christ himself has set for us. Look at what Peter says in the previous chapter, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 to verse number 23. He says, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. And that refers to the Lord. Believer in Christ, you read the accounts of the reformers. Read the life stories of the Covenanters and others who were martyred for their faith, who paid the ultimate price for their faith in Christ. My, yes, when they were being tried for their faith, many of them even unto death and in much hardship and adversity. You can read about it yourself in their life stories and their biographies and autobiographies about them. You will see that through the grace of God in their lives, they acted, yes, in a gracious manner, even towards those who were their persecutors and those who were the enemies of the gospel who were opposing them as Christians. And likewise, Christian, you and I, yes, we are to be gracious in our dealings with others, even with those who would seek to hinder us as believers. In fact, we are to treat others just in the same way as God himself has treated us as individuals. And think of that, dear believer, in your own life. Yes, in our unsaved days, you and I, yes, we lived in outright rebellion to God and to his word. But how did the Lord deal with us? The Lord was patient with us. The Lord was long-suffering to us, word. He was merciful to us, and in his grace and in his mercy, he saved us each one. Yes, you and I can say with Paul, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And these words here in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, they would teach us also to deal graciously with others, even with those who would seek to hinder us in our Christian life and in our testimony for God. I believe it's also important here to point out from what is said and what is not said in verse 9, that it reminds us very clearly, dear people, that the cause of Christ is never forwarded by carnal means. The cause of Christ is never forwarded by the weapons of man or the carnal ways of man. Brethren and sisters in Christ, in days of opposition, indeed, and seeking to advance God's cause, we must always remember, and the Word of God makes this clear, that our weapons are not the carnal weapons of men, no. But our weapons are the weapons of prayer and the Word of God itself. You remember what Paul said to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. He says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God," he says, "to the pulling down of strongholds." Again, you think of the counsel of Paul to God's people, dealing with the Christian warfare and the conflicts and the battles of the Christian life. And Ephesians 6, verses 17 and 18, he says there, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit." There Paul makes it very clear that the church's weapons, the believer's weapons, are not carnal, but rather they're to be the Word of God and the weapon of all prayer. I believe there's something else here to note from verse 9 of 1 Peter chapter 3, this instruction here, but also surely remind us as God's people that in days of persecution for Christ, our reward is in heaven. Our reward is not in this earth, not in this scene of time. Turn with me back, please, to Matthew's Gospel chapter number 5, and you will see that from what Christ says in the Sermon on the Mount to his people. Matthew chapter 5, verses 10, 11, and 12. He says, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad for your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they that the prophets which were before you." There you see how the Lord reminds us that our reward is not here on earth. Our reward is in heaven. Our reward is in glory. Notice one final thing, connection with this counsel for God's people in days of adversity. And it is simply this: in days of adversity, the believer here is instructed in 1 Peter chapter 3 to live a full life for God. You look again at what Peter says at verse number 10 of 1 Peter chapter 3 as he begins that verse. He says, "For he that will love life and see good days." And with those words there, Peter here is talking about the believer living, as it were, to their fullest potential for God. No matter what the difficulties are, no matter what the distresses are, no matter what the opposition is, no matter what the adversity is, no matter how trying their times and their days may be. In days of adversity, yes, God's people can become downcast. That can happen, God's people. Yes, they can maybe even wish that the Lord would take them home to glory. You read about that in the life of the psalmist. You also read about it in the life of Elijah, that great servant of God. In fact, he prayed that God would take away his very life. Such was the opposition he was facing. But God gently rebuked him for such a request by saying, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" Child of God, in days of trial, we're not to murmur, we're not to complain. Rather, we are to live our life by God's grace to the full for God. God's grace is always greater than our circumstances, whatever those circumstances may be, whatever the opposition or the reproach that comes from the ungodly or the world. Christ's promise to you and I as believers is this. He says, "I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." He wants us to live that a more abundant life in Him, in Christ our Redeemer. By God's grace, yes, we are to live that abundant life in Christ, so we might be a good witness for our Savior, even in a trying times. You look in particular there at verses 10, 11, and 12 of the chapter. You see there how Peter shows how we are to be at our best for God as Christians in days of adversity. Look at what he says in verse 10 of the chapter. He says to God's people, "Let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile." And that really speaks of us guarding our speech. That really highlights how we are to speak the truth. In times of trouble, yes, we might be tempted, as it were, to say wrong words. We might also be tempted to speak with a wrong spirit. Hence, as believers, we need to continually pray like David in Psalm 141, verse 3, when he said to the Lord, "Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips." How we need to pray that in days of adversity, God would guard our tongue and guide our speech. Look at what else Peter says there in verse number 11. He says, "Let him eschew evil and do good." That word "eschew" there means to avoid evil at all costs. In days of adversity, we are to avoid evil. We're to turn away from evil. That's really what he's saying here. Instead, we're to follow after that which is good and upright in the sight of the Lord. And that was the testimony of Barnabas. He lived in the days of the early church, and it was times of opposition and reproach for the gospel. Yet the Bible speaks of Barnabas and says, "For he was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and by faith in the Lord's grace, and by the power of the Holy Spirit in his life, he bore a good testimony in days of reproach for the cause of the gospel." You notice something else there in verse number 11. It says there of the child of God, "Let him seek peace and ensue it." In days of adversity and in trial, if at all possible, we are to live in peace with others. You remember what Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verse 18. He said, "If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably," he says, "with all men." And as God's people, we are to avoid being contentious and argumentative with others. You'll notice something else here that he gives by way of counsel in verse number 12. He says there, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." What is Peter telling us here? In days of adversity, trial, and persecution for Christ, what are we to do? What is the church of Christ to do? We are to pray. That's what he says there. He says, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers." We are to pray, and we're to trust the Lord. We're to commit our cause to the Lord, and we're to trust the Lord to deal with evildoers, and even those who would seek to oppose us as Christians in this world. And dear people of God, we're living in a very ungodly day, a day when the spirit of Antichrist is coming to the fore more and more and more. And I'm not talking about Russia or China. I'm talking about Northern Ireland. I'm talking about the British Isles. And you see that coming more and more to the fore in the media and the news whatsoever. This country, these islands are becoming more and more anti-God, more and more anti-Christian. You see more and more opposition to the Christians, to God's people, to the Church of Christ. And it's the mark of the end times. What are we to do as God's people when we face the onslaught of the spirit of Antichrist in our world? We're to pray. We're not to neglect prayer, dear people. We've emphasized that often in the pulpit here. We're to seek God's face. We're to commit our cause to the Lord. And we're to let the Lord to deal with those that are evildoers and those who would seek to oppose Christ and the gospel. Let the Lord deal with them. Turn with me in your Bible over to Isaiah chapter 54. Isaiah chapter 54. Look with me, please, at verse 17. Notice this wonderful promise to God's faithful people. Isaiah 54, verse 17, it says, "No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise up against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn." This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Remember that promise, Christian, as you seek to live for Christ in this ungodly world. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Pray in days of adversity. Commit your cause to the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Remember God's counsel to his people in the book of Romans. He says, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." Think of the testimony of the psalmist in Psalm 7, verse 10. He could say there, "My defense is of God, who saveth the upright and heart." Believer in Christ, he is your defense. He is your rock. He is your fortress. He is your high tower. Rest upon him day by day. Live for him day by day. Come what may, and God will bless you, and God will use you for his honor and glory. Think of the words of Joseph Scriven, the hymn writer, and why they are so appropriate to us as God's people. In days of adversity, have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou will find a solace there. Maybe I'm speaking to one in the meeting today and you're not saved. Friend, I must warn you today that there's an awful day of adversity that awaits you. And what is that day? That is the day of God's wrath, when Christ will return and Christ will judge this world for its sin. The Bible says, "For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" It says in the book of Obadiah, "For the day of the Lord is near." Let me say this, that if you are to escape that day, if you are to be delivered from the awful penalty of your sin and everlasting hell, then now in time, you must flee to Christ. Repent of your sins. Confess your sins to Christ. Trust in his blood shed on Calvary's cross to wash away your sins. Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Christ can give you life abundant, life eternal. In the book of Isaiah, there's a wonderful picture of Christ. And this is what it says. "And a man shall be in hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land." And friend, that man is Christ. You're not saved today, man, woman, young person, boy or girl in our meeting. If you are to be saved from the day of God's wrath, there'll be no day like that day. If you're to be prepared for it, if you're to be ready for it, and now in time you must seek the Lord, call upon him for salvation. People all around us today are concerned about the coronavirus, but you know the virus of sin is far worse. For not only does it affect your physical frame, if you're not saved from your sin, the virus of sin in your life will damn your soul in hell. If you are to be saved from a lost eternity, saved from the wrath to come and be ready for heaven, then now in time you must come to Christ. Trust Him. Embrace Him. Own Him and accept Him by faith. It's your own and personal Savior. Then by God's grace in this life, live for Him. Live for His honor. Live for His glory.